We should bring in Mr. Kiefer
Sutherland.
That would be only polite.
Kiefer.
Hasn't been on the show for 4 years.
That's amazing how fast that's gone, isn't it?
Do you think I remember? I don't think I remember.
Really?
I don't think you will either. And here is Kiefer Sutherland. Look at that.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, you just woke me up there. I just walked in the door and didn't realise you were starting.
We're on. We're here. We're on live. Here we go.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Thanks so much for having me back.
You're more than welcome.
It's our pleasure.
You don't remember coming on the show
before. I actually do.
You big
Now that
fibber.
I see your bright and sparkling face.
We confused you by moving studios from the last time you were
here. Yeah, that's what it is. He remembered the studio from 4 years ago. That's not necessarily yours.
I remember we came. We did one thing with Rocco DeLuca where he played... where he played a thing upstairs, and then I came downstairs and did this show.
That right, that's remember, right.
Yeah,
that's right. And we talked about that band that you were pushing at the time and the record label and all of that.
Yeah, and actually there was a small documentary that
that's right.
a couple friends of mine were making, and that all came out. It was really kind of mainly for the States, but he ended up coming back here and playing a bunch of shows over the next 2 years, and... that went fantastic.
Right.
Went
Is the stud still going all right? Is it doing well?
Yeah, he sold close to 200,000 records in the States.
Okay.
And just finished his second record with Daniel Lanois, who produces all of U2's records.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that was a big thing for us, and it'll come out around March.
I hope he's made you some money.
Not yet.
It's an investment in the future.
That's right. Yeah. This is a long term. It'll turn around with the recession.
Should give him 6 months to up his game, otherwise you kick his ass out.
Yep.
Congratulations, by the way, to all of you for at least acknowledging that it's a recession. They're still pretending in the United States that this is just a slip.
Apparently today is the day when we officially say it's a recession, so
that's
we're
right.
told.
It's bizarre. We need to be told by somebody. They need to check. They need to go away and have a look and then go, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Yeah, this is a recession.
Mm. Yeah. You have no money, there are no jobs. It's officially recession time. Well, I tell you what, and no one knows it more than me, because when we went to America the other year, it was $2 to the pound. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
You couldn't move in New York for British people shopping. It was great.
Well, the entire reason the real estate market in New York City didn't fall apart was because you all came in and bought it.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. We like to keep it going. So how long are you in London for?
We actually leave tomorrow, unfortunately.
Okay.
It's just been a really quick trip, but we really wanted to come over. It's the first time that we've actually had this time off because of the writer's strike.
Right.
We actually finished all 24 episodes before the first ones even aired.
Wow.
I think you guys are up to episode 3, and so it was a great opportunity for us to actually come over and just say thanks to all the fans that have kind of kept the show afloat, and just apologize for the year that we were off the air because of the writer's strike.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. It's a really weird thing. I'm sure you're aware of this, but it's a very weird thing because the over here, writers have nowhere near the same power as they do in America.
Right.
And people find it very odd, especially people who don't know much about TV will go, so what, so the writers are going to strike? Right, so? It's just, right, so what do they do?
Yeah.
And it's a real, you know, it's a huge thing. I mean, it affected everything.
Well, and it happens so rarely.
Mm.
Normally, smarter or more balanced people prevail. So it is a really unusual occurrence.
Mm.
But I think with all of the new technology and all the new ways to present a television show, they just kind of got stuck in the negotiation. And it was really unfortunate because I think they forgot, I think both sides, from the producers and the writers and everybody, all forgot why we do this. And it's for the fans. And we should have figured it out, but we didn't. And so we're just really grateful for the people that kind of waited with us. And thanks for hanging out.
You're more than welcome.
Cheers.
There you go. You can go back now. Bye bye. So I watched the first two kind of like a double bill last week. I loved it. It was great.
Thank you very much.
We love the show.
Well, thank you.
I can kiss your ass for 24 hours nonstop about 24.
And I could let you for 24 hours, and I'd be just fine with it.
I think it's one of the best things you've ever done.
Well, thank you.
I think the best thing you've ever done. I think might have been in that documentary we were talking about when you jumped into a Christmas tree in the hotel.
Christmas tree, yeah.
Now, I don't know what you think of that incident, but I thought it was brilliant.
Mm. Well, it was meant to be funny.
It was funny.
It was the musician Rocco DeLuca is kind of a shy guy, and And I'm not. And it used to be fun to embarrass him, and I didn't realize at that moment I was going to ultimately embarrass myself a lot more, in a much bigger way. But, it, you know, everybody in the hotel there, it was funny, and it kind of got, I think, a little blown out of proportion. But after my kids got older, Christmas didn't have the same kind of meaning to me, so right. I was just making an effort to treat it with the contempt I felt at that moment.
It's a great bit of video that I don't think enough people have seen. It's just lovely in its randomness. Basically, Keith was walking through what looks like the lobby, the reception of a hotel, sees a massive Christmas tree, huge Christmas tree, and dives into it. It falls over, he gets up, and just carries on walking.
Yep.
See, that's great.
The bass player said he thought it looked like a house cat attacking a bear.
So I did love that. I've got so many things to talk to you about. It's ridiculous. I even want to talk to you about your dad and his role in Dirty Sexy Money.
Yeah.
Now, I have this bad habit, and it's mainly with American shows, where I start to watch a series, right, get halfway through, and then find out they're not going to make any more. And yeah. I go insane. Yeah. It drives me mental.
No, it's been frustrating. And I think for the fans that have watched that show, again, all of these casualties, all of these television shows are real casualties of the writer's strike. They were building an audience for 10 episodes because very rarely, in fact, in the 7 years or 8 years of making 24, this is the first season that we've finished all 24 episodes right. before we've aired one. So normally you're only making 8 or 9 or 10, and then the shows start to air. The writer's strike stopped that from happening, so the shows just stop. And any momentum that they were creating, which, you know, is really important for a new show, was just disintegrated. And so a lot of the audiences just didn't come back to the new shows right away.
And it's a shame because there's some really good, you know, it's like I'd heard about it. I think I caught one of the shows over here on the TV, and then so I did that thing where I bought them all off iTunes and stuck them on my iPhone or iPod or whatever. And I'm away on holiday, and so every night I'd watch like 2 episodes, have a little beer outside in the room and on the balcony, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then spoke to a friend of mine, and he went, "Oh yeah, good series. Shame they're not making any more." I'm like, "What? No, don't say that. It's so annoying.
I want my money back for the 10 I bought."
Yeah, well, no, I'm happy with it. I just want them to make some more, you know.
And have an ending.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you know what? I've got 1 episode left to watch, and I'm now like, I don't know what to do. Do I watch it, or do I just kind of...
You've got to watch it now.
Yeah, but nothing's going to get resolved.
Well, you can't watch 9 and then not watch the last one.
Yeah. Well, you can. Yeah. That's like, you know, the thing is, it's like we're 24. There's loads of episodes to watch. You can miss 9 out, go straight to 10. And then be confused about episode 14.
But if this is going to be the last one that you ever get to see, then you want to savour it then, surely, don't you?
Well, yeah. But for 24, so I'm right in
maybe
saying...
Maybe for the last one you can sit on the balcony and have 2 beers.
Yeah.
I see, that would be great. Yeah.
And then jump into a Christmas tree.
I've got to be honest, by the way, I did tell a little lie. I was on the ground floor, it wasn't a balcony. I had kind of like a little patio.
That's it. Outside.
And it was but half a bottle of scotch.
I didn't want to go... No, it was a couple of tins of beer out the minibar. But the minibar was so expensive that I'd only have a couple.
Oh, you know what you want to do is find out... This is what we do. Find out what they have in the minibar, right, and then drink theirs, and then just make sure you replace it with the same brands from the shop.
Yeah.
That's the way
That's what
forward.
We did when we were in LA.
That's very funny.
Well, the thing is, you go and get, like, a tin of Carlsberg or Heineken or whatever it is, and it's, like, $99. And then you walk to the shop at the end of the road where the hotel is, and you can buy it for, like, 50 cents. So you just go, well, I'll just make a mental list of what I've had in the minibar last night, put it in a bag, but rebuy it and stock it up.
That's it, and you have to sneak through the reception with this carrier bag with all, basically, the contents of their minibar.
You must have done that.
It happens all the time.
It doesn't matter how much money you've got. I don't care. But you must sit there and go, I need a bottle of water out of the minibar. You see that it's $25, and you think, I'm not having it. I can't pay that.
Well, I've been doing this long enough that I actually stock up with the provisions on my way in for the first time, so I don't have to
restock. So you don't even bother with the minibar?
Nah, just going with the original bag.
See, that's what we need to do.
Seasoned traveller.
Bag of clothes for the hotel. Bag of
booze.
Minibar stuff.
Booze and crisps. Let's go.
It's crackers and Jaffa cakes or whatever the hell it is. All right, should we play a record or not?
Yeah.
I could just talk to you all day.
Excellent, I'm here.
About so many things.
Well, thank you.
I'm a big fan of Call of Duty.
Oh, wow. It was, that was a, for those of you out there that don't know, Call of Duty is a video game, and I got to do the voice.
It's not a video game, Kiefer. It's a way of life.
It's a way of life. And you know what? From the people that, because I'm not a huge gamer.
You don't play, do you?
I've had to, they tried to teach me a little bit. Yeah, it's, yeah. I'm getting a little better, but it was a real pleasure to do it, to be able to just check out the graphics that these guys are making and...
Oh, it's great.
And as an actor, to actually be able to do a voice, whether it's for an animated film or for a game like Call of Duty, not be restricted by your own physicality. Mm. You don't have to run over the sand dune. You don't have to carry 40 grenades. This is awesome. And Gary Oldman played the character.
Like the Russian guy.
The Russian guy.
Which I didn't realize. I never knew. I kind of got your voice straight away, but his Russian accent is so good.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
To the point where... They could have just hired a Russian voiceover guy for like a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, he should have come right out and said, my name is Gary Oldman, and gone on to do the rest.
Yeah, he's
of
kind
the
of French Russian. Yeah. My name is Gary Oldman. Mm. I am Russian, like that.
Yeah, it would have been very good.
Oh, do you know? I was really hoping that you might have been into it, and then it did occur to me that you probably don't play. I sit at home all day playing Xbox, like maybe what I do. No,
give me a year.
What?
Give me a year and I might be staying home all day playing Xbox.
Yeah. Oh, well, that'd be great.
Yeah.
We can play together.
Well, I'll come back on. We'll talk about it then.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like that. I haven't got time. I'm too busy watching 24. I'm sorry about that. Kiefer's voice is bursting the bass on my speakers, says Craig in Glasgow. You do have a very bassy voice.
It was a lifestyle choice more than anything. It was very funny. I was doing... a show in California for the press, and they played clips from Stand By Me,
mm-hmm. right?
Young Guns, Lost Boys, A Few Good Men, and then they started getting into kind of the voices of 24, and they just made this montage, and you could track the history of cigarettes and whiskey over 20 some odd years, and I thought, wow. Maybe I'll take a break.
You've got a very nice voice.
Thank you very much.
A lot of the girls are appreciating
more
it this morning.
Thank you.
Chris has a device in the studio which might allow him to replicate your voice.
So you think your voice has changed over the years?
I know my voice has changed. There you go.
Hang on a second. Why is it so quiet? Hang on, try that.
And I know my voice has changed.
Well, where's he gone?
Years.
No, that's you.
Yes.
Okay, that's you. And then...
I heard it.
There we are.
Ah, that's better.
Well, this is a character that I did for the remake of The Wizard of Oz.
Nice.
And I did the whole film with shoes tied to my knees. And I had a lot of fun. And I loved the Yellow Brick Road. And again, it's just one of my favorite characters.
I think there's a spin-off of 24, which is 24 Kids, which is like their children running like a kids' version of CTU. Mm. That's going to be great, with Jim Bauer.
Love torturing the kids.
Okay, let me take it off because it's quite disturbing. Right, let's play a record, and then we'll get back to it. But you're happy? Everything good?
No, everything's great. We're really happy with, you know, we were really nervous coming back after a year and a half.
Really?
Off the air. It's a lot to ask the fans of this show to have waited, and they came back in the States, and they've come back here in England. And England really mattered to us so much because I don't know if a lot of people understand this, but the show broke here.
Yeah.
We didn't have a really strong audience. It took us a long time to build in the States, whereas the show took off here right away, and it was the success of the show here in England that allowed us to continue working in the States till we built up an audience. And so
you should buy us all houses to say thank you.
To say, well, what was it in the paper this morning? I think 95% repossession increase.
That's some good deals going.
Yeah, so
maybe we can
see what we can do.
I mean, yeah, it's quite a horrible time out there at the moment.
It's
but if
really
you do
tough.
Have some money, you can really clear up at other people's expense.
Yes. Well, that might be one way of looking at it.
I mean, seriously, you could, I mean, honestly, you could come over here, you could buy yourself an entire village for merely £2,000 to £3,000. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, Dave?
In certain places.
Right, okay, what should we play? Let's play a record, and then we'll be back with more Kiefer Sutherland. It's 8:28, by the way. I'm gonna give it to you tonight. Tonight, yes. That's Jay Sean, and tonight on Radio 1. Kiefer and I have just been talking about fitness, because we're both really into fitness and treating our bodies like temples.
We have moments. Yeah. We have moments. No, we were talking about, well, you're going through a six-week... Six-week health craze.
Yeah, I'm climbing. I'm gonna climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Very at the end cool. of February for Comic Relief.
Oh, very good.
And so I need to train. So I need to get into walk. I need to get to walk regularly. So I'm kind of trying to walk about 5 miles a day.
What mountain in England would you climb to train for Kilimanjaro? Just curious.
I think the biggest mountain
it's
in
Ben
the UK
Nevis, isn't it?
Ben Nevis, in Scotland. Which is about 5,000 feet.
Oh, okay.
And Kilimanjaro is 19,500 feet.
There's a few. There's Ben Nevis, Snowdon. In the Lake District, there's quite a few. There's one called Scarfell Pike.
Plus, I find just going upstairs, for me, generally, is quite tough. So, you know, this is like a big thing.
No, this is, it's huge. When do you do it?
End of February.
And
go.
This February?
Yeah.
So we go.
You're doing it in 6 weeks. So you basically started your health craze 6 weeks before we had to go do this. Hopefully get it over with.
You thought he was going to say February 2012 or something.
I did, actually.
He would be in perfect shape.
So I can come back in March and you and I can go
No, I'm doing very well. I used to be 400 pounds. I've lost so much weight.
That's amazing. Well, good for you.
To
keep the pressure on.
Well, it was Christmas. I couldn't, you know. What I did was I started running just before Christmas and then ran over the Christmas holidays so I wouldn't put on weight like everyone else does. So that worked. And now it's just trying to get fit and lose a bit of weight and get ready. You're looking at me like I'm nuts.
I think it's great. I think it's worth making a documentary over.
Yeah, they are. So
good,
but it's
man, inspirational.
Come with us. It only takes 6 days.
Yes, they're nodding at me. I think I start 24 then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for 6 days.
it's just a very long, difficult walk.
I'm going to check in on this. I'm going to be rooting for you.
No, well, thanks, man.
It's only like climbing the highest mountain in the UK 4 times.
I know.
In one
each
go.
Way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so in effect, it's kind of 8 times. But
how long does that? It's
six days.
Day climb.
Is it 6 days? 5 nights, 6 days.
Around that.
Yeah, that's 6 days.
Maybe a little bit more.
And we don't. Rachel's doing it as well. Rachel's coming as well.
Good for you.
Thanks.
So we kind of don't. We know what to expect a little bit, but I don't think we'll fully realise till we get there.
Oh, someone sent me an email. I keep getting these emails from listeners just telling me the stories that happen, things to expect, you know, it's just...
People falling off, that kind of thing.
Everything freezes when you get to the top.
Mm. I'm sure everything will be frozen halfway up anyway.
I think it's a little before the top.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know how I get on.
No, I can't wait.
Yeah, I can. I really can. I can wait. I don't really now know, but I'm going to go for it. I keep kind of taking the mickey, but I'm really going to...
It's only because you haven't got a viable excuse to get out of it, though.
I think you're going to make it.
You've got your boots on.
Do you know what? I think I will make it. I'm determined. I'm absolutely determined to make it, because I'm the favourite to fail.
I can feel your force of will from here.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I'm serious.
But, yeah, I am favourite to fail. And I'll tell you now, it's not going to happen. It's absolutely not going to happen.
They've actually put odds on this?
Well, yeah, but just... Yeah. Well,
I'll let you know. If I can actually look this up in Vegas and they pretty much put odds on
can
everything.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
I'm putting some money down
on you,
my friend.
Do you know what? We can do that. Do you know what, Alan? Get Paddy Power to give us odds on the climbers for Kilimanjaro. So who will make it and who will fail?
Or whoever.
Paddy Power was good like that.
I think you can start a complete illegal betting pool right here, right now.
That should be perfectly legal.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be in the States. Would it be legal here?
It would be perfectly legal, yeah.
I think so.
We could get the odds and then you could place money in a responsible fashion, of course.
And then give a portion of that money to Comet Relief.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Kiefer said he's going to donate some money for the climb.
No, I'm going to make a serious wager, at least.
Well, yeah. I like that. See, it's a charity thing, but Kiefer sees it as a gambling opportunity.
Apparently, there is a 60% chance of, what is it, success or failure? Success. 40% chance of failure.
Yeah.
So those are the sort of odds that the people are dealing with.
And the other, there are nine. There's nine kind of us famous types doing it. Because I'm famous, I'm a huge celebrity here.
I'm back in production.
I'm like Regis Philbin of the UK.
I think bigger than that.
Well, that's very nice of you. I don't like to brag. But so there's nine of us doing it, and I think that everyone, something like every one out of five people that attempt Kilimanjaro fail. Mm. So, you know, and when that fact gets blurted out, everybody looks at me around the table.
The trick is if you can be funny when you get to the top.
I don't think I'll be able to breathe when I get to the top.
I think that's going to be the interesting part about who actually can still be funny when they hit the peak of the climb.
And there's not even a cafe or a bar or anything at the top.
There's nothing. Not even a souvenir shop.
Yeah.
You know when you go to the rides at Disney or Universal and you get to the end and you walk through, there's nothing. You can't even buy a towel or a keyring or a mug with I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro written on it. Mm. Nothing.
Yeah. If you make the top, you're going to have to wait till you get back here, I think. Mm. Or maybe even the airport.
I tell you what, when I get back, though, I'm going to drink and eat myself silly for 24 hours. I'm going to be eating donuts and washing them down with a pint of lager. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
When you get to the bottom, a big donut.
Yeah. We're just going to dive into a big bath of booze. Booze and chocolate. Just swimming around.
You probably won't feel like it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we had to argue with them, see whether or not we could have a drink at the top. And they're going, you won't want a drink. Someone's going, look, it would be great if we all had a glass of champagne. It would look great for the cameras to celebrate a victory. And I'm putting my hand up going, I don't really drink champagne. Can I have beer? And apparently they said it wouldn't look right with me with a tin of lager at the top. It would look rough. So, I don't know. Come with us. Come on. It'll be great fun.
I think I'm going to watch from home.
What I'm doing.
But you're going to feel me rooting for you.
Well, I don't like the way you phrased that, but I thank you very much. I understand the sentiment.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing as it came out of my mouth.
I'm going to be feeling Kiefer rooting for me. Okay, good. Right, let's do the news. I'll do some news. We'll play a record. We'll come back with more from Kiefer. Look at the time.
Digital. FM. Online. This is Radio 1.
8:39.
It's now 8:42.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Three bags full, full sir.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Three bags full sir. That's the Jack Bauer dance.
Mm. It's a good one.
Thanks. I love the 24 series. Ask Kiefer Sutherland if he ever gets sick of saying, damn it, says David from Nottingham.
I think the only problem with damn it is it became a college drinking game in the States. damn it is kind of every expletive that you can't use in the U.S. on television, rolled up into one. It's the only thing you can really say. It didn't bother me until it kind of became a joke, really. You get so involved in whatever scene you're doing at the time, and so much is happening. I think the first times I said it, I felt maybe kind of a little silly,
But when you watch the show and you get into it, you don't really notice these things. What was who's the girl who came on the show?
Rice cakes, but it's not as
what?
Was you
it
called her?
Anna Rice cakes or Amy
Mary
Rice?
Mary
Rice cakes.
It's not rice cakes.
Rice cub.
You're so rude.
Who played Chloe?
Oh, Chloe, Mary Lynn.
Mary Lynn Rice cakes.
There you go.
Told you.
And what was the line that she just seems to say all the time?
Jack.
Well, it's Jack. Obviously, she says that. But she used to have to open something or whatever, and it was just like. And now I wish I'd never even started asking.
I'm so sorry, but I remember you asking her when she came on, and it was brilliant.
God, that's going back some years as well, isn't it?
She used to have to open a port or something.
Yeah, you can't ask me because it's she gets actually saddled with a very difficult job because she has to take all of the IT stuff, all the technical stuff, and make it seemingly plausible for what is happening in the context of the show. So she gets all this dialogue that's dealing with the computers, and we've always respected that kind of goes all
she huffs
to her
a lot as well and does it very well, doesn't she?
Yeah, but everybody's got a difficult job in 24. Jack Bauer has to somehow get from one side of, let's say, LA to the other in rush hour traffic during one commercial break. Thank God he always just gets there in time.
Gets there in time.
Gets a parking space right outside the door.
One of the things I remember in the first season, because the real-time aspect was something that was new for all of us. It was obviously very new for the writers, but it was also new for Stephen Hopkins, who at that time was directing the show. It was new for all of the actors, and we had to all keep each other honest about it. And I remember sitting with the writers and going, look, it's impossible to get from Pasadena to Santa Monica in 2 hours, let alone half an hour, let alone the 10 minutes that you've allotted for this to happen. If we're going to do the real-time thing, we need to take it seriously. And just as I had said it, a helicopter started coming over the horizon, and the writer smiled and looked at me and said, that's your ride. And so I was humbled there. They, you know, they go to great lengths to make it as plausible as they can, but obviously it's a television show, and our desire is to create a kind of a tension and a drama within these circumstances. And
look, we love it.
We're working in the best traffic conditions Los Angeles and now Washington D.C. have to offer.
Well, this is great. So the first two episodes or one episode, depending. I take it was a double bill everywhere.
Yeah,
is 7 or 8 a.m. it starts.
Yes.
And there is a bit where you're driving through Washington and there's nothing on the road. I've never been to Washington yet, but you must be able to get around so quickly.
Washington's actually not that bad.
Right.
Because it is a capital town. I worked in Ottawa, Canada, and it was the same thing. They were at work at 7 a.m. in the morning, and they finish at 7 at night. And
fools.
The entire city is solely filled with federal workers that actually have these jobs. And so outside of the kind of random tourists that you would run into,
right?
The traffic actually was so moderate. We were really surprised by that, compared to Los Angeles, where no one has a job.
Well,
driving on the street.
Do you live in L.A.?
We've shot so much of 24 in Los Angeles that I go back and forth between L.A. and New York.
Right.
But if I wasn't doing 24, I would have to say that New York would be my residence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like New York.
Yeah, it's...
It's great. It's
my kind of town.
It's very similar to London in a sense. It's the nearest, I think, American city to London.
Oh, by a long stretch. It's got public transportation, and you can walk somewhere.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, you try and walk somewhere and forget.
And there's also a nice level of rudeness or abruptness that New Yorkers have, which is akin to the people who live in London.
People stand their ground.
There's an edge, yeah, isn't there? But I mean that actually in a positive way. You know, a compliment to
If you go to LA, and I've always said this, it's like you're the first British person to ever land in America, and you ask somebody the time.
Yeah.
And they will go, oh my God, your accent is so cute. Where are you from? Are you from England? Well, first of all, they think you're from Australia. And then you tell them that you're
from England. Which is really funny, because then they think the Australians are from England.
Yeah,
after they
that's
get
right, yeah.
After they get a bollocking from the English person saying,
well, if you go to you? But if you go to New York and you stop and ask somebody the time, they'll go like that. 10 after 5! And then just keep on walking.
If they give you that much.
Yeah, and if you go, I'm from England, by the way. What do you want, a medal? And it's nice, it's good. And you think, I fit right in here.
Well, open a socket.
You have to remember that New York...
Open a socket.
Have I missed the moment?
Kind of missed a moment. That's what Chloe used to do in every episode. But
go.
Yeah, but that was...
Thank you,
we've kind of moved on now from that, but we got there in the end.
The thing about New York that's... I want to help you with the open a socket thing, but there's so many wrong things you could do with that one.
That's what Chloe has to do in every episode. She has to open a socket.
Open a socket.
Is this a good time to just stop and go straight into a record?
Yep.
I think probably, yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like U2?
Very much, yeah.
This is the new U2 song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. This is called Get On Your Boots. It's 8:49. You too, get on your boots! Especially for our guest, Kiefer Sutherland, who loves the U2.
Yeah, that sounded great. I love that guitar riff at the top of the song.
Are we going to give... is this what we're going to give Kiefer? We're going to give him some CDs of some of our bands?
It's just off my desk.
Okay. You like your music, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Like, we're going to give you some CDs.
Oh, thank you.
As a gift.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Mm. But if they're on Alan's desk...
It's all the stuff he doesn't want.
It might not necessarily be any good. Although, if it's stuff that he doesn't like, then chances are it will be good.
Well, I'll play them over the next couple of days, and I'll give you a call and tell you what I think.
Mm. Okay, let's see what you have and don't have. Kings of Leon.
Excellent.
Do you like them?
I was watching the... I actually really liked the video that they made for their single that's out right now. I kind of sat up last night with a little bit of the jet lag watching the top 10 or whatever. So I don't know the album. So,
okay.
So
the album's brilliant. Actually.
Well, there you go. Well, look, that's there's a few albums there. That's three albums in one of Kings of Leon. You can have. Cool. There you go. Look,
I think you'll like them.
That's $15, and then
proceed to check out.
And then we'll give you some other stuff. Why did the first one get taken off?
Well, it was a U2 one, a really old one, but, under Blood Red Sky. And I just thought
I thought that was what we were doing. You said he likes U2, so we played U2. You brought in some CDs. U2 was at the top. You took it away.
But I saw also that Aled had put the Saturdays album, and I just thought he'd brought down a... Which I'm not saying is a bad thing. He brought down a real random selection, and I just thought he wouldn't want an old one.
You can have the Saturdays album, because they're very nice
very
to look
poppy.
At.
Very poppy.
Yeah, it's pop stuff, but they're, you know, they're cute.
There you are.
Do you know what? We'll just give them. We'll give them all to you. Mm.
Thank you.
The musical selection for you.
Thank you. It's actually, and no joke. I mean, it's nice to actually come here and get CDs, because a lot of the music, specifically underground stuff, that is happening, that is kind of alternative, and by that I just mean simply not pop.
Right.
Doesn't make it to the States, and conversely, the same thing happens from the States to here.
Sure.
And so we should next time. I will bring a selection of stuff that you might not have heard.
That would be nice.
There.
Will they all be on your record label?
No.
Okay.
No.
Coincidentally, yes. Look at all these.
It's a really expensive gig trying to run a label, and
I
so
bet.
we have you know, three bands signed to our label now, and potentially a fourth coming in, but it's. You have to really have faith in the artist and what they want to do and their music. It's not, you can't just go into a pub and just sign every band that you like. I've heard so much music that's fantastic out there, but it's just such a commitment. And so one of the things that's happening in the States is really cool. As opposed to one major company kind of coming in and saving the day, you're watching thousands of small labels kind of sweep across the States, and three acts at a time, you know, these thousands of labels are actually generating phenomenal music right across the country, and now it's just figuring out how to distribute it and how to get it to people, because
that's right.
Almost all of the record stores in the States are in big trouble.
It's exactly the same here. It really is. It's one of the big kind of record store chains recently got kind of taken over, and then now they've gone already.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult. And you know what? I think it's the technology. It's the fact that you can just, people want things now. People just want them instantly. I was talking about this with a friend of mine the other day. Like, the new U2 song isn't out until February.
Right.
Yeah, we played it on Monday.
Monday, first one.
And I really think it should be like the old days where you hear it on the radio, you can buy it.
Yeah,
so everybody gets it at the same time. The video goes on the TV, the song goes on the radio, and the song is available to buy all at the same time. And then songs will... Because songs don't... Over here, songs don't go up the chart anymore. You know, last week at 32, now it's at 14, then the week after it's at 7, and they climb to number 1. They don't do that anymore. They either go in, then they're out.
Yeah, no, it's really fast here, isn't it?
Really
fast. Really fast here. And oddly enough, in the States, it's unbelievably slow.
Right.
So stuff does climb still. You know, it might sort of go in at 20-something, and then...
Rocco DeLuca had a top 15 hit. We worked that record for almost a year and 2 months. 14 months. And that's just... It's unheard of too, how kind of log jammed radio is over there. So it's there must be something, at least for the artist, that's kind of nice that if you're coming out with a record in England, you know, you basically know whether you've made it in 3 days or not.
Yeah.
You pretty much know where you're going to be after one day of sales.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's quite, you know, it's not
certainly by the Wednesday, but you know what the picture is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if anybody else is interested in this conversation, but we are, and maybe we should just kind of wrap things up. Listen, I love 24. It's great. And it's on Monday night, Sky One. I watch HD, by the way. Sky One.
That's because you're a connoisseur of a finer picture.
I am. I do. Do you know what? I like the quality. I like the attention to detail.
There you are.
And it looks better.
Yeah.
What you want is you want an HD, and you want your surround sound cranked up. It's great. Don't worry about your neighbours. Screw them. just as loud as you can. It's really good.
Well, that, hopefully this will force them to watch it as well. So,
Monday night, Sky One, Sky One HD, 9 o'clock for 24, now in its 7th season. And I'm just trying to think, is there anything else that I needed to kind of check with you or wrap up? No, I think everything's good. And thanks for being with me on every game of Call of Duty that I play.
Well, cheers. Absolutely. Absolutely my pleasure. And it's, you know, it's always so nice coming over here, and you guys have been so great, so thank you very, very much.
Well, you're more than welcome. You don't, because you don't play the game, though, you have no idea how scary it is when you hear,
dogs coming right at us!
Because that means they've set the dogs on you.
Yep.
And they, and when, no matter where you hide, they pretty much get you.
Yes,
and,
the dogs come
out. Sniff you out.
They, well, no, they kill you. The dogs.
The dogs do.
Yeah, they bite you till you die.
Right. That's, yeah, so
that's
nice.
Why you've got to kick some of the dog's ass.
Mm. I don't like dogs. I've told you that before.
Well, you'll be fine. And as I said, it's not real. It's just a game.
The dogs don't have guns, though,
except
do they?
For to the people that are playing it.
Well, yeah, when you get into it, yeah. And when you hear this.
Nice work, Marines! Scratch one up for us!
You know that you've done a good job. That's how it works. He's now, Kiva's now thinking, I have no idea, it was just a couple of cars and an extension in the back of the house. But for you, if it's a lifestyle, I'm very pleased for you.
That's very funny.
Yeah. So listen, good luck. And come back and see us. Come, you know, you've got to tell the producer of 24 they need to shoehorn London in to the next series.
In the next series. Well, if I don't know if we're going to be able to accomplish that for the series, but certainly when we have talked about doing a film which will take place after the series is finished, England has always been a part of that discussion.
I'm worried, though, but that'll be a few years away. You might be off the drink by then, and you'll be no fun. You'll be really boring, and you'll be teetotal. You'll be like, you know, a hippie.
Well, I've
shaved head. I don't know.
If I have cut back or stopped, I'll make an exception for the time that you decide to go with me to a pub.
Thank you very much.
I see a train wreck a-coming.
But after Kilimanjaro, obviously, because, you know, my body's a temple.
Yes, and I mean it. I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to put a wager on it. And maybe I could get one of those small kind of little spy cameras attached to your knapsack, I could follow your progress over the 6 days.
We could do regular phone calls. We'll just phone you every day.
Exactly. Are you a Mac man? Are you a PC man? Are you a computer man?
I'm not a real computer guy, but most of the stuff that we use in the studio is kind of all Mac.
Right. I'll send you video messages from the mountain.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think we can do that.
That'll be very cool.
Yeah, Alan'd say that.
Help.
I want a drink.
Do you have a number for the helicopter rescue?
Yeah. I think they constantly monitor me all the time. It's like a police. They would just watch me just to make sure I don't fall over. Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah. Well, when you go back to the States, this radio station, I think we told you before, is broadcast on Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
On the Sirius satellite.
Oh, really?
Radio. So you know the same network that Howard is on.
So I've got a few ways to keep track of you.
Yeah. So Channel 11 on Sirius is this radio station. It's 24 hours
fantastic.
A day. They just pump it all out. And they time delay it to New York time. So
what's going to happen for the 6 days that you're gone?
It will be a crisis for the nation with me not being on the air. We're going to do, we're working on the technology side of it, but I'm still going to try and do an hour a day on a sat phone, on a satellite phone from up the mountain.
So I'm going to monitor not only you climbing Kilimanjaro, but I'm also going to monitor the traffic and see what happens.
You'll be able
if
to
it speeds up, you might be in a little bit of
trouble.
You'll
be able to monitor whoever they replace me with on the show and how much they ruin it while I'm away. And these are all staying on the show.
And I'll be able to just text you emails. Today was a particularly tough one. You need to climb faster.
You'll be able to send me a text message on my phone saying, I'm listening to the show. You need to get off that mountain
quickly.
I'll
just say climb faster, and you should know what that means.
That's exactly what I'd be like. Nice to see you. Have a safe trip back home, and good luck with everything, and just come back.
Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Have a vacation. Bring the family. Come on over.
I will.
Just come and stay at the Four Seasons, you know. Go to a show, you know, send them off shopping. We'll go drinking. It'll be great.
Got a deal.
Hey, all right.
Got a deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kiefer Sutherland. The Chris Moyle Show. See, and a nice, polite round of applause. International Radio.